Okay, right, so we're about to begin a brand new sugya. It's only brand new in terms of it's a new chapter, but it's really building on all the asaitis that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. We've been spending a lot of time, rightfully so, on Lulav HaGozel. That's the name of the parak. We've been talking a lot about Gezeila, about Kinyani Gezeila, Yiyush, Niyakon, Natkon, Abaya, 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 everything we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. And now the Gemara begins to put some of that into practice about a real live Shaila. And the third line from the bottom of Laman Aleph, Omalu Ravuna Lano Avankari. Ravuna said to those Avankari. I have absolutely no idea how to pronounce that word. I don't know. The sir I have is Avankari. Is it right? Probably wrong. I have no idea. But whatever it is, it's like state. Ravuna said to these Avankari, the people who were in charge of selling Alamin, he's of Nisu Asame Akov, Losigzugu Aton. Aligzu inu v'yavi luchu. So Ravuna used to give instructions to people who are in the Esrog and Lulav dealers that there was a big problem. The big problem was that the Hadassim that they were getting very often were coming from the non-Jewish fields, and the non-Jewish fields may have been stolen, or quite possibly were stolen, or probably were stolen. That's even a question. What exactly, just how much of a concern this was. But since there was a concern of stolen goods, and stolen goods, of course, are clearly not acceptable for Dalet Minim, for one of two reasons, either because it's lacking of lachem or because the mitzvah babi aveira. The bottom line is that we have to make sure that we're not using stolen hadassim. So Rav Huna gave seemingly a very, very strange eitzah to these middlemen, and he said, just make sure that you're not the ones who cut the hadassim off the trees. Make sure that the non-Jews are the ones who do it, and they'll give it to you. And what in the world is that going to solve? My timer. So we have to assume that the fields are probably stolen. And it happens to be halach of a karka and gzelas. The karka is not really fully subject to the rules of gezela. We'll see as we go on what exactly that means. Doesn't mean you're allowed to bump the guy off his land. That's not what it means. But we'll see as we go on. So since karka is not an gzelas, therefore we want to make sure that they do the cutting. So we know exactly what the goal of Rav Huna was. We're not quite sure we got how he reached that goal. The goal of Rav Huna was that we can't let anybody use these hadassim the way they are because they're stolen. So they're not lochem, they're mitzvah b'aveir, etc. So we have to overcome all those problems. So the best way to overcome those problems is to get you to be kona those hadassim. How can you be kona the hadassim? Stolen goods. For 3 weeks, we already know the answer to that question. There are multiple ways that even a real goslin can actually be kona something. So one of the really good ways to be kona something is to a combination of yush plus, what's that plus? Who remembers from last year? Shirishus plus shirishus. So hocus pocus, even though yush, we're working now with the assumption is probably not kona, Yush by Gazela is not Kona. I am the Vakamas, I'm above, Baba, or Yosef, I am last week's shear. But Yush itself is not Kona. So just because I stole something and the owner gave up hope, that in and of itself does not transfer the ownership to me. But if I subsequently take that Dovashal Gazela and I hand it over to somebody else, I sell it to somebody else, so then you have a whole new ball game called Yush and Shinirishus. Now, for now, I'm really, really going to insist everyone has Emunah Chachamim. You don't have to believe me. Believe Chazal. We have no idea why that works. We have no idea why Yush and Shinirishus equals anything, equals a kinyan. Why don't we know why that works? What's gnawing at us? We haven't even started the sugya of Yush and Shinirishus. Not even our sugya, it's the next sugya. Why is that gnawing at us? When you hear that concept, I tell you, oh, don't worry about it. Yush and Shinirishus, that's great. So there's a mathematical problem that should, you know, flash before your eyes. What's the mathematical problem? It's one of the only equations that we know. We don't know that much, but math is just a little schwach, you know, from the old high school years. It's called 0 + 0 = 0. So every once in a while along this, we find 0 + 0 = 1, and we have a big problem. What do I mean by that? Yush by itself is not kind of, remember? We're assuming Yush is not kind of by Gezela. Robber of Yosef last week, the Raisa, the Rabbana, Yisrael, the other, Ramban, Taisach. You know, we're swimming with why Yush is not kind of, but we know Yush is not kind of. Shini Rishus, is Shini Rishus itself a kinyan? Imagine I steal something from you and I give it off to somebody else. Would anybody say that's a kinyan? What do we call that? It's called selling stolen goods. That's not a kinyan. It's a joke. So Yush is a joke and Shini Rishus is a joke. And all of a sudden, two big jokes end up with being a Maisa Kinyan. So that in and of itself is a very problematic equation. And again, that's not even our topic today. That's going to be hopefully with Shem later in the week or next week. But we get into the nitty-gritty, the details of this Kinyan, Yesh Bashir Rishos, we have to come back to how to deal with that problem. But one thing is clear, that's going to work. The Maisa Temmali is going to work. It comes in Bava Kama, in the 10th perk, in the 7th perk. Throughout Bava Kama, the Gemara has this principle time and time again. Yushin Shin Rishos is a method of kinyan, even though, again, we have no idea why, how, what, but it does work. So Rav Huna is extracting this principle and plugging this into helping the Hadassah merchants by saying, if we could somehow get to this point of Yushin Shin Rishos, we're going to be home free. The only problem is we have to be very, very careful about when this Yush is going to take place. Now, I thought that if the non-Jew stole my land, and this went on years ago, it must be, I was Mishyayish from this land years ago. So it's not that hard to envision that Yush took place. So Rav Huna is stopping us in our tracks and saying, not so simple. Just because you gave up hope doesn't mean halachically that you had what? They had Yush. Now again, we all went to fifth grade, so we all learned the Elamitzias at one time or another. We all learned about Yush Lamidas, Havi Yush, Lavi Yush, Havi Yush, Lavi Yush. We all know that Yush just means, well, I give up hope. So what's going on in this sugya? Why is Rav Huna chopping us and saying, wait a second, not so posh, not so simple. Not every giving up hope equals Yush. So Rav Huna just introduced to us a whole new principle called Yush Bekarka. Karka in an exilus. Karka is not subject to the rules of Gezeila, whatever in the world that means, it's to be determined. But what seems to be even more important is that Ein Yush Bekarka. And since Ein Yush Bekarka, any quote-unquote physical Yush that may have happened, any real psychological Yush that may have happened, is ignored by the Halacha, and we're not going to be able to incorporate that into our discussion of using it to affect the Kinyan. So the Yush that we need must take place when? When must the Yush happen for us? Not Bishas Hayosu Karka, and Hadassim that are connected to the ground, the Dino Ki Karka. When must the Yush take effect, they say? At what point? What magic moment in time? After it's cut off from the ground. So now we're going to have to walk a tightrope because we need Yush to get to the point of Yush Shir Rishos, and the Yush that took place, Bishas, Hayos, Hadas, Mechula Karka, isn't Taifis, doesn't help us, doesn't assist us. So we have to make sure to Chaparani Yush post Talisha Mina to be followed by a lot. But the goal is to be followed by a Shini Rishos. So because of that problem, Rav Huna is giving these very, very specific directions to the Hadass merchant, saying, you better make sure that those Hadassim get detached in enough time for Yush to take place, and then to have a Shini Rishos, or else we're going to be in big problems. But if you're not careful, and you go ahead and you cut off those Hadassim first, and you didn't have Yush yet, then the whole picture is going to be different. So the whole directions, the whole goal, the whole Rav Huna is sending out all these kol kareis, telling all the Hadassah merchants exactly what to do, is all predicated on one assumption, that Yush doesn't work for Karka. If Yush would work for Karka, then presumably we'd have nothing to talk about. So then Yush happened 6 months ago when the land was stolen, and now once the Hadassim are transferred to the Rishus of the Avankari, everything is hunky-dory, everything is great. It's Yush and Shin Rishus, everything's wonderful. So it's only because Ein Yush Bekarka that is prompting Rav Huna to give his very, very specific directions.
When you say Yush Bashin Rishus is Kona, is that specifically in
that order? Oh boy, that's a very, very loaded question. But I'm not going to even answer that question.
Is this tomorrow?
For now, yes. For now, yes. For now, yes. Hang in there. Until next week. For now, yes. So if I say, this is where Asugi begins. With these three magic words, Ein Yush Bekarka. So we have two fundamental questions that's going to take up the entire sugya, which I have a feeling is going to take up this entire week. Question number one is this true? Is this a true statement that Ein Yush Bekarka? And the Gemara sure sounds like it is, but just because one Gemara sounds like it is, that's far from confirmation that's a true statement. We have to check 10,000 other Gemaras, make sure there's no other Gemara out there that's giving us other information. So question number one is this statement, this is the Yaseida Yaseida, this everything hinges upon Ein Yush Bekarka, is this true? And then once we've ascertained that it is true, or I shouldn't say once, if we ascertain that it's true, then what's the next question we're going to have to ask ourselves? We have to understand the what before the what. The what before the why. Even when we come to the conclusion that our initial reaction is correct, that there is no Gemara in Shas that contradicts this, or any other Gemara that apparently contradicts this, we're going to be able to touch up a little bit and put the rest. If and when we come to the conclusion that Cain, yes, Ein Yish B'Karka, then we're going to have to ask ourselves, well, why is that so? Now the Gemara touches a little bit on it. The Gemara quotes another magic phrase called Ein Karka Degzelas, but since we have no idea what that term means, it's going to be very, very hard for us to understand why that has any shape or form, any relevance to our discussion. So we have a lot of work cut out for us. We have the what's and the why's. So today we'll probably spend the bulk of the time with the what's. Hopefully by tomorrow we'll move a little bit into the why's. Then we go a little quicker, so we'll start the why's today. If we go a little slower, then we won't get to the why's till Wednesday. If I get in a good mood, I start telling some joke, and you never know what happens. So we never really know what actually happens. Especially Chodesh Adar, anything can happen. Okay. Rabbi Isai, let's begin with the what's. Agamar. So we're lining up Gemaras and Shas that indicate this principle. No idea why, but Ein Yish B'Karka. So first and foremost is Sukkah, Flamen Amunah. That was the easy one. That only took us 10 minutes. Then you have a very, very complicated, very, very convoluted sugya in Maseches Baba Basra, Daf Mem Daled, that when all the dust settles on that sugya, we see with absolute complete certainty, maybe, that Ein Yish B'Karka. What does that Gemara Baba Basra tell us? Oh my goodness, what a sugya here. This is just, where'd the page go? Can you give me a sheet? Starts the second, the Ma'amar Kaimis, the Baba Basra, starts in Memgil and Mebeis, goes on to Mendal and Aleph. Ten Rabbanim. Mochal Ebayis, Mochal Esoda, Ein Meid Lo Alam, Reisha Chuyuso Alav, Mochal Opora, Mochal Otalas, Meid Lo Alam, Reisha Ein Achuyuso Alav. So we have, the good news is that we're in the same boat as Chazal. The Amoraim have absolutely no idea what this Bryce is talking about. Maishter Reisha, Maishter Sefer. So Amr of Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, let me tell you what the case is. And once I tell you the case, then you begin to understand what in the world the Bryce is talking about. Reisha Beruvein Shegazal Sadeh Shimon Umachra Lelevi V'Asi Yehuda V'Kam Arer V'Lelezal Shimon La'asid Le'Lelevi D'Nechalei D'Hadra. Now everyone's got it? Everyone's got it down pat? It's like Yevamos, just like the Nezik inside of Yevamos. There are four people here, okay? Let's see if we can try to draw this out properly. All right, this is going to be a toughie. Make sure we got all the names right. That's part of the problem. Okay, we got Reuven. And Reuven has a great title. You know what his title is? He's a Gazlan. All right? He's a Gazlan. Reuven steals the field. Who do we have next? Shimon. What's his title? He is the? We have a third guy. All right? Who's the third guy? Levi. What's his title? He's the Lekeach. Then we have a fourth guy. Baruch Hashem, Yaakov Avinu, that he had 12 sons. Okay? So who do we have next? Yehuda. What is he? He's what we call the what? He's the Ma'arer. He's the Kvetch. He's the guy who's just complaining. What happened? Very, very simple. Reuven stole the field from Shimon. Okay, so far so good. It's good for everyone except for Shimon. Reuven stole the field from Shimon. Then Reuven goes ahead and he sells the stolen field off to Levi. Okay, so now this field, I mean the field didn't move, but Lamai said this field that used to be, this used to be the field. Then it went to Shimon. Now the field is by Levi and Shimon. Comes Yehuda from left field. And he comes and he says, wait a second. He said, hold the phone. 1 second. That field originally never belonged to Shimon in the first place. Shimon was originally the guy. It belonged to somebody else. It was never Shimon's field in the first place. So now, who can or cannot come to Bezin at this point to testify against Yehuda? So Don and Naphtali and Yosef and David, a lot of strangers could come. But the Gemara wants to know about one person. Who's the one person the Gemara wants to know about? Shimon. Can Shimon walk into Beis Din now and testify about this field? Can Shimon come and be made against Yehuda? Yehuda is trying to undermine the case by saying it never belonged to Shimon in the first place. Does Shimon have a right to go and testify against Yehuda? So your initial reaction would be, what? Are you crazy? How in the world could Shimon be made? He's the ultimate, what rabbi say? He's opening the gate. He has something to gain. The ABCs of Eidus. You can't be a Negev Dov. We learned Rabbi Basra does Chesed Batim. Come on, right? We learned about this. And the Negev Dov is possibly Eidus. It's Machloikis. Have we shown him? Why is the Negev Dov apostle? Is it because we're afraid he's lying? Is it because of Pidin? He's a Baldov. There's a lot of Lomdos. But Tach, at the end of the day, the Gemara is Beferish. And the Negev Dov, you have an incentive. You have something to gain in the case. About the apostle is the Moshe. Even Lahav, even today's world, if you get called for jury duty, you're called for jury duty, so they start to ask you questions. Do you have any, you know, any connection to this case? Do you have anything to gain from this case? You have reason that you would like this case to go in a certain direction? And they check you, rightfully so. Because if I'm in a Geber Dover, that'll be terrible. So let's say the marshal, I remember one time I was called for jury duty. So it was about some case. Somebody was suing a hearing aid company for something. So they, so the judge had 50 of us in the room, and he asked us, do any of you wear a hearing aid, and do any of you know anyone who wear a hearing aid? Did you ever meet anyone who ever wore a hearing aid? Did you ever go into business with her? Mamash, they're so machbid and ogebidav and ogebidav, and they're doing anybody mashu, any in a mashu of a mashu. Then when they finish deciding who's off limits because who has an ogebidav, then they get down to the next level of questions. Then they ask you, they asked us, who here can foresee they won't be able to sit in this case for the next 2 weeks? Who has anything pressing in the next 2 weeks? They won't be able to stay for the whole case. So that was my in. So my wife was in her ninth month at the time. I raised my hand and I said, Your Honor, my wife is expecting and she's due very, very soon. I'm afraid I may not be able to last throughout the case. So the judge, he was a real funny guy. He was like, he was just having a good time. He was having a better time than we were. He was just laughing with everybody. So he says, well, tell me, sir, are you the doctor? So I said, no, I'm husband. So I said, I'm the husband. So he said, well, that's no excuse for missing this case. So I said, Your Honor, can I say something else? So he said to me, sure. I would never have had the chutzpah to talk like that, except that he was just having a good time. So I said, I don't want to, bog down your courtroom or anything, but I think that if I sign up in this case and my wife has a baby and I'm not there, you can have another case because my wife's going to kill me. So he liked that. And he said, okay, you're off. Okay, anyway, so the goal was not to tell you to be chol, you shouldn't be chol. It was just only because the guy was such a funny guy. Then anyway, but I say, get back to the story. So a negev dover is possibly eight, it's possible. Dayan is possibly eight, there's no question about it. So the Gemara is being done now in this Nakuda. Is Shimon a negev dover or not? Does Shimon have what to gain from this case or not? Is it chpatlo where the Yehuda is claiming that the field really belongs to David? Is that important to Shimon or not? What do you think? Do you think that's important to Shimon? Do you think Shimon has what to gain from knocking Yehuda out of the box? What do you think, everybody say? Yes. I better believe he has what to gain. What does he have to gain? He gets his field back. He's going to get his field back. If Yehuda's right, and it turns out that the field really belongs to a third, to David, whatever it belongs to, so then Shimon's going to go nuts. He's going to lose his field. So Shimon has every negia possible to try to come and bump Yehuda out of Eidus because he wants to get his field back. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Not so pasha, the Gemara says. Is he really going to get his field back? Is he really, truly going to get his field back? Even if Yehuda loses, and it turns out that the Beis Din establishes it was really Shimon's field all along, is he getting his field back, or by saying? What do you think? Is he going to get his field? What has happened? What has happened at this point? How many things at this point? There's been years, there's been months already since this happened. There's been Shin Rishus, because the field was already sold to Levi. So the Gemara says, what do you mean he's getting his field back? Who says he's getting his field back so fast? So the Gemara says, of course he's getting his field back. You know why? Because it's Karka. And Karka, of course you're going to get your field back. So I state in the Gemara. So what's missing, Rabbi? He said, what did the Gemara not explain to us? So Taka, why? Why are you going to get your field back? Why? There was Yusha, there was Shin Rishus. What's the answer? What's in between the lines of Abbasim and Gimel? Even though there was quote-unquote Yush, but Halachli was the Yush. Why is there no Yush? Because Ein Yush B'Karka. So come to Yishayim and say, oh, Zam Fandof, and this is the Gemara Bastaf and Gimel. You see that? Tachabol and Yishbekarka. So we have two Gemaras. One very, very simple. That's the one Sukkah Daf Lamed. Rav Huna's directions to the Avankaris. When Rav Huna's saying that make sure that you have the right Yush at the right time after it's detached. That is assuming that Ein Yush Bekarka. And number two, this crazy, wild, complicated case of Rav Basra that says that, yeah, Shimon can't be made because Shimon's getting his field back. What do you mean he's getting his field back? Is a Chiyush and Shinim Rishus? No, you see from here that there was no Yush. Either was Yush, no, there wasn't. Either what? There was psychological Yush, but halachically there wasn't. It must be that we can pin it on the principle called Ein Yush Bekarka. So far we're two for two. So we have two Gemaras on the side of Ein Yush Bekarka. We have no idea what the whys are. We have no clue why that's true. But at least we've identified two sugyas. But now we have to be honest. And we have to identify two other statements of Chazal. On the Yesh Yush Bekarka side. Who saw the Gemara in Gittin? Who understood the Gemara in Gittin? Okay, so I guess we better start to understand the Gemara in Gittin properly. Most people only know this Gemara in Gittin from where? It's the introduction to the Sugya of Kamsa by Kamsa. But nobody remembers that there's a whole lumdus before Kamsa by Kamsa enter into the scene for a Tisha B'Av story. There's a lot of heavy-duty lumdus that starts off the Sugya. The Sugya starts off with this principle called the Sikra cone. Well, yeah, I don't know what that word is. It's like a Hebrew word, but the word is Sikra cone. Who knows what in the world what Sikra cones were? What Sikra cones were? They weren't pleasant people, okay? They basically, in the days of the Churban, when Rome was conquered Eretz Yisrael, they were not only conquered Eretz Yisrael, they destroyed it basically, they were killing Jews right and left. So what the Romans were doing was, it was a total free-for-all. That if anybody wanted a nice piece of land of a Jew, so they would come to the Jew and say, very, very simply, your money or your life. He said, either you give me this land, we'll make it legal, I'll give you a nickel for it, we'll make it legal, you sign me a document that the land belongs to me, and otherwise they're going to kill you. So that was pretty much what was going on at the time of the Churban. So then the Gemara says that things got a little bit better after the Churban, then the Romans were a little bit more tolerant. There were ups and downs with the Romans and the Jews over those years. Then they got a little bit more, a little bit better, a little bit worse, a little bit better. And the Gemara said back and forth. There were different kufas just to how bad the situation was. And then Afkamidas Ladina, based on just how bad the situation was. If a person sells the land under such duress, is that considered to be a kinyan? Not considered to be a kinyan if he gives it to somebody else. A lot of details that all revolve around the sugya of Sikrika. But that's not really even our sugya. Our part of the sugya is the very, very end of the Sugya of Sikra Kon. At the very, very end, the Gemara tells us about what's called Anparos. Anparos was not quite Sikra Kon. They weren't mamish killing people, but they were still taking people's lands. So the Gemara tells us, Omer Rav Yosef on Gittin Menches Bebeis, Naktidan Ein Anparos Bebovil. So the general rules about Boris are that if somebody comes and takes your land, it's a Goslin. Even if he sells it off to somebody else, I have a right to take him to a dintar to get my land back. So comes the Vilsman and says, that doesn't apply in Bavil. Doesn't apply in Bavil, why not? They were shunned to a Goslin in Bavil also. The Gemara says, Al-Aim ain't did on Boris per Bavil. The halachas of Boris, which usually mean that if somebody stole my land, I can go after them and bathe it and go eventually get the land back, even though the land was sold to somebody else. That doesn't apply in Bavel. Why not? My time. Came with the Ika Bidavav look also vakabil emachuyachil. So Yosef says in Bavel, Baruch Hashem, we're living in a civilized society. For the most part, things were okay in Bavel. Chazal had a lot of time to write the Gemara. Things were much, much calmer. The Romans and Eretz Yisrael, things were terrible. But in Bavel, things were relatively calmer. There were ups and downs in Bavel. Also, it wasn't hunky dory with there also, but there were a lot of stability in Bavel. And there was a judicial system in Bavel. The Goyim were running a semi-civilized society. So they were enforcing law and order. So usually what would happen in Bavel is if somebody came and in the middle of the night and threw me off my land, I would have a right to go tomorrow morning. I go to the cops, go to the courts, go to the authorities and report it. But eventually I'd probably get my land back. So that system was pretty good, pretty much observed in the days of Rav Yosef and Bavel. Therefore, Rav Yosef says, wait a second. If a guy came in the middle of the night and threw me off my land, and I didn't bother to go to court the next day. I couldn't. The courts are open all the time. I didn't go register a complaint. I didn't go to the land office. I didn't go to the police. I didn't go to the authorities. And this went on for days and weeks and months and years. I didn't report it. And then that land got sold off to somebody else. And now I'm going to go run after the third guy and say, I want my land back. So this is not so bullshit. We're not giving the land back so fast. You know why? Because you had the ability to report it and you didn't. What probably happened? What does that probably mean? So the way you use a very funny phrase, achule ochel. You are probably meichel. What do you mean you are meichel? You can be meichel, an object. What does it mean you are meichel? What's meichel probably mean? You're miskeish. It means you probably gave up hope. If you live in a crazy, you know, wild, wild west society, you live in the jungle, and nobody's, there is no cops, and there's no warts, and there's no authorities, and everything just might, strong might is right, and you whoever has the biggest shotgun wins. So, okay, so then Rechinami. So then, if there's no riot from the fact that I didn't go after this guy, that's not a riot that I was moichel, that's not a riot that I was misyai, it just means I wasn't strong enough. But I'm still banking on getting it back. But if you live in a just society where you could have gone to court and you didn't, zet mfado, you see from here that you most probably were misyayish. So come to Rishab and say, wait a second, hold the phone. You were most probably misyayish. What office is on in Gittin? Where is this? Nun Chesem and Beis. Gittin Daftan Chesem and Beis seems to be saying that Yesh Betarka, that there is such a thing called Yesh and Karka, that it exists. The concept of Yesh exists by Karka. So what's going on? Then, with one of the last Gemara, it's not a top of Bavli, it's Yerushalmi. Where's Yerushalmi? Tosfos quotes it. Everyone saw the Yerushalmi? Everyone figured out the Yerushalmi? It's a long, 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 long Tosfos. I don't even think I put it on. It's Yerushalmi. We're in Kilayim. Okay? It's Yerushalmi in Kilayim. Where the Yerushalmi is talking about, if somebody steals my land, because they bought me off the land, and I've been off the land already for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, I'm probably not going back anymore. And then the Ganav goes ahead and he plants Kilayim on my land. Kiliyat Kerem. Usually Kiliyat Kerem become Osir Banah. So the halacha is Kiliyat Kerem only become Osir Banah if you're the Baal, if you have the rights to plant it. If I go ahead and I steal your stuff, I can't create a Nisr of Kilayim. So the Gemara says, wait a second, how could the Mishnah talk about the Ganav, the Gazlan, the Anas, the thief of the land, creating Kilayim? The land's not his. Says the Gemara, yeah. The land is his. You know why the land is his? Because, Mom, what does the Gemara say? What does Yerushalmi say? Yesh what? Yesh l'karka. Yerushalmi basically says it. The reason why the Kilayim becomes also, even though it's not really his, Yesh yesh l'karka. So now we are literally dumbfounded because we have four Mamei Chazal, four Gemaras. We have a two-on-two. Two Gemaras that say Beferish ain yesh b'karka. I mean Beferish, none of these Gemaras. Sukkah daflam, but the whole underpinnings of the Rav Huna story is ain yesh b'karka. Ravasim and Gimel, the whole background of that guy who can't be made is based on ain yesh b'karka. Nevertheless, the Gemara in Gittin about Amporos and Rav Yosef and Bavel seems to play out yesh yesh b'karka. And Rishalmi says Beferish yesh yesh b'karka. That's the beginning of our question. So what's the answer to this question? So this is like standard Lumdus 101. What approach should we go? So how do you deal with this? An outright four Gemaras, outright 50-50 contradiction. So there are two different approaches. There are three different approaches conceptually. One is to say, it's all machlokes. Okay, it's one easy way out. We're not going to go down that route. What are the two ways? Either these are the real Gemaras that matter, and we have to do a little bit of surgery on these two Gemaras. These Gemaras didn't mean what we thought they meant. Or the exact opposite. These are the Gemaras that really matter. Those Gemaras back in Sukkah B'Masa, we got to just touch up a little bit. Smooth out the rough edges. They don't really mean what they sound like. So, not a great surprise. This Machlokes of Rishonim, which direction should we go? So, half the Rishonim went down the route of the real Gemaras stand up, Sukkah and Bava Basra, carrying the day, and these Gemaras have to be touched up. And the other half the Rishonim said, no. These are the real Gemaras. Those Gemaras have to be touched up. So by saying, let's see how these Rishonim play out. So the first of the Rishonim is who? Who's the first? We're learning Sukkah, remember? Taisus. Taisus and Sukkah. Law. Everyone figured the whole Taisus? Everyone finished it? Everyone finished half of it? Anyone start it? Anyone try to start it? Anyone learn Sukkah today? Anyone alive? Everyone's with us? Okay, good. So there's a long Taisus here, where Taisus basically goes down the route. They are representing our Sugya. Thank you to the Balei Taisus, because they appear in our Sugya, representing our Sugya, and they're telling us that the Emes La'amitai is, the bottom line is what? What's the bottom line? Ein Yesh B'Karka. We don't know why, but Ein Yesh B'Karka. As is borne out, Esuchat Aflamed, Rav Astafim Gerubis. So then Taisus goes to try to analyze these two Gemaras. What do you do? What do you do with these Gemaras? These Gemaras sound not this way. What do you do? So Taisus says, the Rishalmi, that's an easy one. You know that's an easy one? What's the Rishalmi talking about, Professor? Is the Rishalmi really talking about Mominus? Is that a Rishalmi in Babakam? It's a Rishalmi in where? In Kilayim. The goal of the Rishalmi is to explain away how come the Mishnah says that if somebody steals Karka, they can create Kilayim. So the Rishalmi asks, I give out, it's not stolen. The Rishalmi says, yeah, it's Yush. So says Taisus, to create an Isser, it doesn't necessarily have to be an Isser D'Raraisa. Maybe it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan. Maybe in the pure, perfect world of Dibi Mominus, the Din D'Raraisa is of Chesh Mishpat, of Abba Basra, of Abba Kama, the Din is that there's no Yishin Kaka for whatever deep, dark, secret one. All the Rishalmi and Kalai meant was, even though it's not awesome in the Torah, because it's not going to not nickname to the Gazlam in the Torah, but to create an Isser D'Rabbanan of Kilayim, well, that's Yisurim Derabon. We can do it. We can ask the Bishalachim, the Fiyomi, we can ask the Mukhs, we can all kind of Yisurim Derabon. With the Rabbanan, it doesn't look right. With the Rabbanan, it looks like he's the owner. Not every guy learned the Sugis of Yush properly. Not everybody was Zaychet to learn Levagozel this man. Some of you will learn another thing. So, no, not everyone got to Levagozel. Not even got to this Taisus. So, says Taisus, when we have to formulate it, it is the Rabbanan called Kilayim. It looks like he's the owner. Not everybody realizes it ain't Yish B'Karka. So therefore, Midir Rabbanan, we're going to throw at you this Isra of Kilayim. But if you want to know what the real din is, what the real halach is, yes, Taisus, this Yishalmi Kilayim about impacting a Baba Kama Vibasra. The real din there, he says, like it says in Asug, like it says in Vibasra, Mem Gimel, ain't Yish B'Karka. So Yishalmi Taisus Machzadek. It took Taisus 55 lines to Machzadek. Taisus decided to tell you the entire Yishalmi, to show you why they're Machin Revek, but at the end of the day, Taisus says, in one fell swoop, the Rabbanan, that solves the world's problem. So I saved you all from reading the whole Taisus. You should read it anyway, but that's the whole theme of the Taisus. Taisus gave you a detail of the digression into the Rishalmi, and eventually showed you the whole thing is on the Rabbanan. Good. So that's the least of our problems. What about getting Nafin Ches? How do you do that? You can just hide behind the Rabbanan. That's the Didi Mominus. That's the real McCoy. What do you do about that? If Taisus are sticking to their guns, the Ein Yesh B'Karka, what is Daftin Ches talking about? Did anyone look at Daftin Ches carefully? Think we're going to get there. I'll read the key part again. Amar Rav Yosef, Einam Paras B'Vavil, V'chulei, why, my taima? Kevin Dika B'David, B'David means like the authorities, their courts around. V'lo'ozel Kabel, the guy doesn't go to complain. Ema achule ochil. So therefore we can assume he was probably Michael. That's the kasha. That was the magic marmokum of Gita Daf and Ches. Anyone notice something strange about that Gemara? Which word is conspicuously missing in that Gemara? Yish. So you guys all bought this for me, because you guys have such a muna. Maybe you shouldn't trust me so much. I translated the word achule machil into what? What word did I use? I said achule machil, that's the same as yush. It's all the same thing. And then I just continued, I put it on the board, I put it on the category, on the list, and I told you it's a four-way stira. So somebody here should have been a little bit more careful and said, Rabbi, I didn't see the word yush in there. And you know what I would have said? Oh, that's ridiculous, we'll talk about it next week, like I always say, right? So how did you let me get away with that? How'd you let me get away with saying Achule Ochel means Yush? So comes the Ktzais And he quotes from who? Who is he so close to, the Ketais? Who is he love to quote? Who did he fight out the Shabbos table with? Who? His brother. His brother. Best, closest brothers. He quotes his brother. Says, who discovered Sarashpa. Quotes his brother, following beer. We totally misread that Gemara. Legami misread that Gemara. Has nothing to do with Yish. Absolutely nothing. That's exactly why the Gemara doesn't even say the word Yish. Says it says, what does the Gemara really mean? It's as follows. There is a sugi in Baba Basra, in Cheskes Abatim, called Taliyuah V'Zabin Zvi Nizvin. Who was with us last year in Kedushin? Who was here? Did we talk about this in Kedushin? The Beis, about Taliyuah V'Kaddish, Taliyuah V'Zabin, Taliyuah V'Kaddish, Bal Mitter, Rambam, right? I think we spent a couple of days on that? Okay, good. There's a sugi of Abbas called Taliyuah V'Zabin Zvini Zvini, which basically means that if I come to somebody and I say, listen, I want to buy your field. And the guy says, I'm not interested in selling. I say, no, you didn't understand me. I really want to buy your field. So first of all, what do I just get? What just happened? Losachma. Okay, check number one. Losachma. Okay, fine. What's the serious difference between friends? Okay, fine. Losachma. Fine. I say, no, you don't understand. I really, really want to buy this field. And the guy says, but I'm really not interested in selling. So I give him a price that he can't, turn down. I say to him, tell you of his oven. I hang him up on a tree, literally or figuratively. And I say, listen, I said, you better sell me this field. I'm going to give you the right amount. I'm going to give you money for the field. Here's the money. And I give him the money for the field. I didn't cheat him. I give him Mamashian to the last pruta. And he goes in and says, okay, fine, I'm selling you the field. So the Gemara is a startling statement. The Gemara says, tell you of his oven, Zvini, Zvini. The Mechir is Chal. Why? Because at the end of the day, the guy was masking to sell the field. Now again, we're not advocating this behavior. We're not going to give mafti yoyna to this guy who did this. The guy's a Russia, Marushad Ma'oid. He's a violation of Losach Ma'oid. He's by Posel Yedus, Posel Shvua. We can't stand this guy. We're not going to like him, let him be in our... we're bored of a yeshiva. But at the end of the day, the mechira is valid because tal yuv zabin zvini zvini. However, the Gemara says, what if I come to the guy and I say, I want that field? And the guy says, no. And I say, I really want, I'm not, and I say, I want to buy it. I want that field. And I'm not going to pay you a penny for it. And the guy says, I'm giving it to you. And the guy says, yes, you are. And I hang him next to the other guy. So the Gemara says, tell you of a zubin zvini zvini, but what? But what? This is not tell you of a zubin, this is what? What do we call this? Not zubin, what is this? Tell you of a yohiv ain zvini zvini. If and when I pay the guy, and even in effect was mask him, albeit under duress, if he received something in return, he got the right amount of money for the field, even though he didn't really want to sell it mitchila, but he was willing to sell it because his life was on the line, so that's called the mechira b'diavad. But if he didn't, I didn't give him a penny, that's just outright gazela. That's just mamash, outright stealing. See, even with the yevid, that wouldn't be chal. That's the background of the sugya of Anparos. That's the background of the sugya. If a guy comes and he says, give me that field, I'm going to take it, otherwise I'm going to beat you up till you give it to me. So the basic chiluk in the loch is, if it's done derech mekechum memker, if it's done with the giving of money, then we can size up that the person probably was maskim. If it's done without giving money, the person probably wasn't masking. Those are the general rules. That's the background. That's the starting point. That's the baseline. This what if we have real reason to believe that even though the fellow did not receive cash on behalf of this field, we have somehow other circumstantial evidence to believe that he probably was masking anyway? What would the din be? Would you say, no? Halacha Moshe Mishinai. Tell you of a zobin, yeah. Tell you of a yoiv, no. I mean, give me a break. It's not halacha Moshe Mishinai. This is all rooted in what? Where does all these halachas come from? Tell you of a zobin, yeah. Tell you of a yoiv, nein. Where does it come from? It's all rooted in what? What? Psychology 101. This is after 3 o'clock, Rabbi Shai. It's all, even on President's Day. Is English today? Right? Oh. Patriotic country, whatever. Okay. I called my son today to ask him where they had English today. It's in yeshiva. So first of all, the good, he didn't even understand what the Havamina was not to have. He wasn't even go race that it was a day that he shouldn't have. Otherwise, he would have been a little ticked off that he is having. But he said, no, we're not having English. We're having something, some special program after Shir today. So that's a way of saying you can't get the English teachers to come, but you don't want to tell them that it's an English. I can send a lumber, but the mice are fine. So he's all, as long as he's not complaining, he wants to come home. Okay, good. So everybody say, so psychology 101 dictates to us that if it's Tal Yuv Zabin, the guy was probably masking. If it's Tal Yuv Yoiv, the person probably wasn't masking. What if we have some other reason to believe? We went into the deep, dark recess of this person's brain, his psyche, and we came to the realization that even though he didn't get a penny for it, he probably was masking. What's the din? What would the din be? We could figure out on our own, based on our own studies of psychology, that this particular guy, this guy Reuven, didn't need the cash to agree. He really consented to believe. Shalom, what would it then be? So it's all. So it's given as a baton and finished. Baton is the kinyan's chal. So kum to k'tzayis, kum to trumus akri, kum to Rashbam says, that's exactly what's happening in Bavel. When you see a guy walk up to, Reuven walks up to Shimon and punches it out and walks him, throws him off the field and gives him nothing in return, even though the guy's saying, okay, fine, take it, don't kill me, take it. We assume he's not masking. That's the starting point, that's the baseline. I tell you of a life, I tell you of a yoiv, eimat eras matan. But wait a second. The story doesn't stop here. The story continues. What happens the next day? Wait a second. What happens the next day, everybody say? Or more important, what doesn't happen the next day? Reuven beat the living daylights out of Shimon, and he took away the field, and Shimon said, okay, I'm asking, I'm giving it to you, leave me alone, it's a matana. What happens the next day? What doesn't happen the next day? What did Shimon do? Call the police. Okay, he doesn't call the police one day. Okay. The next day, and a week later, and a month later, he doesn't call the police. And it's a beautiful, it's a wonderful police system. We're in Bavel, we're living in the highest enlightened society, the Babylonian police force, to the rescue. The Canadian Royal, what do you call it? What are those guys called? Royal Mountie, what do they call it? Who are those guys? What? Canadian police, what are they called? You know from Toronto, yeah? Mountie. The Mounties, you're from Canada. Oh, the Mounties, they're coming. Or in Scotland Yard from London, the detectives, they're coming. Or the NYPD, 34th Precinct, they're coming to get you, to get the field back. And these guys are Gavaldic. And you didn't call them. I don't understand. Why didn't you call them? I'm going to date myself now. Maybe you'll know what I'm talking about. Dr. Ritter. Kojak. I didn't call Kojak. Hawaii 5-0. You didn't call these guys, right? You guys don't know what I'm talking about, okay? One order. I don't know. Whatever. Come on. Yeah, you can call the cops. Call the detectives. What are you doing? What are you doing sitting around and saying to Hillam and learning about the boss? What are you doing? Call the cops. So wait a second. After enough time, the Ketzayis and his brother sitting around the Shabbos table trying to figure out why didn't this nincompoop call the cops? There it is. Because he was going to Daito to give it in the first place. He didn't want it. He doesn't want to start off with this guy. It's worth it for him just to give it away and call it a day. Is that Yush, everybody say? Is that Yush? What is that? That's a way of being Mevarer that he was what? That he was Machlit from day one. Yush means that I was never Machlit and Neach bin Nisyash. Here, all we're doing is sizing up that the person was probably Mevata from day one. So Gemara used a little bit of a misnomer, Meichel. Gemara didn't really mean Meichel, really meant Machne, really meant Matana. He most probably gave him a Matana 6 months ago as proof of the fact that he didn't bother following up with law and order. And that's the Chanda Gemara in Gittin. So when all the dust settles, the Yerushalmi, this is Nasan Belev Shalem, Mitchila, and Shalom Yisrael. Okay. Even though Tyson Sukkah doesn't address this Gemara in Gittin, but Tzayis, Baruch Hashem, Tyson's brother figured it out, found in Rishayim an answer to this question. We decide, believe you have one Mahalach in the Sukkah, Tyson Sukkah. Come Tyson Baba Basra and says the exact opposite. Come Tyson Baba Basra and says, unlike our colleagues back in Sukkah Daf Lamin, we believe, what's the real Gemara? Which are the real Gemaras? These are the real Gemaras. Is Yish B'Karka for Vashnet? Why is it not Yish B'Karka? I think it was in Sukkah, it was in Baba Basra. So Taisus in Baba Basra says in one fell swoop, what? What does Taisus say? What does Taisus say in Baba Basra? Anyone saw? Nobody saw Tosfos Bava Basra. What is that Tosfos? Tosfos says number 7. Only read. The Bekarka in Regilin Lis Yaish. It's unlikely that a person is Misyaish in Karka. If you were a betting man, not that you should be, but if you were, and you had to determine, is there a good chance the guy is Misyaish or not? The odds are probably there. Why pick Misyaish in Betaslim? At the end of the day, something's stolen from me. Why is there a good chance, after 6 months I can't get it back, why is it probably Misyaish? It's gone. I'm never going to see it again. It's already, somebody stole a watch. They stole my watch. So it's gonna, who knows where it's going to be? It's going to be recycled. It's going to be in St. Nicholas Avenue. Now, who knows where it's going to be? I remember when we first moved into the Heights. We first got married. We were living in the Heights. So we realized one day somebody had stole a computer and some sort of camera. In those days, stole cameras. A couple of things were stolen from our apartment. So we called the cops. Just called the police. The guy comes down from 34th Precinct, you know. Was down, and you know, we sat there. Something was stolen, so he said something along the lines of, "Okay," and so, you know, he said, "Well, something was stolen." So you know, he looks around a little bit, says, "Okay," so write up a report. So somebody, one of the neighbors came by and says, "Listen, if you want to know where your computer and where your camera is, just stand on 181st Street, you'll see it. Someone's stealing it, whatever. Somebody stole your camera, okay?" So, again, I don't want to publicly say I'm a Siyayish, but this is 22 years ago. Like, Rav Yosef took him 22 years there. I'm probably not going to get that computer back. And my guess is it's probably not coming back anymore. The karka. Somebody steals your karka. The karka of the Oretz, the Olam HaModes. What's that pasuk? The Oretz, the Olam HaModes. Okay, that trup should give it away. It's not Rus, it's not Shir Shirim. It's the Megillah that everyone's sleeping for. Which one? Kehelas. Okay, now should Mechilas cover the Helig Shalom Melech. But it's somewhere tucked away in the middle of Kehelas. Aretz Olam HaModes. Land's always there. And even if the guy who stole the land is a big, tough guy, he's a 6'8" linebacker, and I'm not going to go anywhere near him, but you know, every 6'8" linebacker has a kid who's a 5'1" he married a short girl, a little timid guy. So him I'm going to go get the land back from. So the Yisra Taisis writes that people tend not to be Misyayish Mekarka. Does it mean up here locha? There's no Yish Mekarka? Why not? Bishter locha Mashti, there's no Yish Mekarka. It means it's unlikely that people are Misyayish Mekarka. So since it's unlikely that people are Misyayish Mekarka, so Taisis now makes the following cheshbon. So wait a second. In Sukkah Daf Lamed, in order for this Hadas, going back to Sukkah, in order for the Hadas to be kosher, we have to be really sure that Yish took place. As long as it's Karka, we're not so sure. Assume that it was detached from the karka, then fairly confident years probably took place. So says tells the Bava Basra, the Gemara in Sukkah is not giving a halachic distinction between attached and detached. It's just pure metzias, pure practicality, technical. People generally are not misyayish from things that are still part of the land. Once it's off the land, then people are misyayish. Psychology 102. What do we do with the Gemara in Bava Basra, Dafim Gimel? What do you think about that? It's the same story, says that it's the same Pisman. That the odds, I'm a chaval that I raised Shimon and Levi and Yehuda, the whole crazy guys from Bava Basra and Gimel, but the odds that Shimon was Misyayish already are so unlikely, and therefore Shimon will probably get the land back if he would win the case, and therefore we can't let him testify in the case because he's in the Gebidah. So in Ochinabi, if we really had Ruch HaKedesh and we really, really knew that we had Edom who telling us, I don't know if he's telling us that Shimon was already Misyayish, then we would talk about this, let Shimon be the aid. Because he's not in the Gebedov, he's not getting it back anymore. Because usually it's Tefes and Karka. It's just that it's highly unlikely it's ever really going to happen. So basically what Tefes in one fell swoop does is that the Emes is Tefes and Bava Basra, the Emes is Yesh Yesh B'Karka, the Gemara Gittin, Yerusha Mikulayim. These Gemaras are the Lav Dafka ones for very, very simple reason. The same reason, lo shchicha. Unlikely, very unlikely. So we have like 2 days in Taisus. I'm not going to be mechriya Taisus and Sukkah, but Taisus and Basra. But for the most part, the continuation of our Shir and our Sugya is going to revolve around our Taisus. Rashi and our Sugya also holds like Taisus. Rashi is Beferish, there's no Yishin Kak. The Rashbam hold that way in Bava Basra when he explains the Gemara in Bava Basra and Gil, he explains it through the eyes of Ein Yish B'Karka. So it seems to be the majority view in the Rishonim already, the couple of Rishonim that we already collected, seem to be going in this direction, that Taka ain't Yishmika. And now, we're faster, we're ahead of schedule, we're up to the why. So why is that so? What's the why? Why is it, conceptually, there's no Yishmika? So both Rashi and Tosfos in Asugya, and the simple reading of the Gemara seems to point in that direction, connect this notion of Ein Yish B'Karka to another principle in Halacha. There's almost an equation here that's drawn between Ein Yish B'Karka to something else. What's the something else? Ein Karka Nigzelus. Now, what in the world does that even mean, Ein Karka Nigzelus? What do the words mean in Karka Nigzelus? So that's really a throwback to a Sugya also in Daf Kama, and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. I put it in the Ramah Kamas, Kuf Yud Zayin, Kuf Yud Zayin my base. I put it on, I'm ahead of the Ramah Kamas. Ready, we're flying ahead of you guys. I put it on, yeah, Kuf Yud Zayin my base. The Gemara quotes Machlekes HaTanoim about the following Shiloh. Real Shiloh. Ochel Maisha Shiloh. I steal your field. I came to you, I threw you off the field in the middle of the night, bumped you out, I took over. I'm living in your house now, I'm living in your field right now. And what happens? I'll give you guys a chance to redeem yourselves from last week. What happens? The Mississippi overflows. Did you guys check that out yet? Okay, where does it overflow? Give me a city. Come on, quick. Give me one. There'll be five cities that the Mississippi flows through.
Cairo?
What?
Cairo?
Yeah, that may be right, but I know that would be my number one choice. Okay, man. I mean, it's been a long time to talk about it. I never understood. Whenever I would write an essay in school for something and there were 4,000 grammar mistakes, so then I would have to redo it. But Mark Twain wrote books and there were 10,000 grammar mistakes, and he became a bestseller. I'm not sure how that happened. Okay, Ravaisai. So give me a better one than that. Not one city. Not one.
New Orleans.
New Orleans, that's what it dumps into. We got to that already. I remember from last year. It's Chazara. Come to St. Louis. No. Hannibal, no? Isn't that, is that where? That's where we grew up. Yeah. Okay, Mark Twain. You gotta give him credit for Mark Twain, come on. He had two gewaltige chedushim. Told us two gewaltige chedushim. Forget all the books about Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer. He had two gewaltige chedushim. He had a gewaltige chedush about Eretz Yisrael, and a gewaltige chedush about what? About Klal Yisrael. He was a big, you know, he had a pikchus, he understood, but he didn't understand the answer. He raised a lot of good kashas. He didn't understand why Eretz Yisrael is the way it is, why it was just desolate and destroyed and everything. He couldn't understand it. It's mamash l'kayim ha-shenemar. I always felt that Mark Twain's visit to Eretz Yisrael was a kiyum v'pasim chumash. What's kiyum v'pasim? It's mamash v'fesh v'pasim chumash. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. He wrote a famous essay when he visited Eretz Yisrael in the 1800s. It was swamps and deserts. There's mamash nothing there. Mamash is a total churban. So what pasim chumash? It says in the end of Pashas Nitzavim, it says that it's going to come to us in Lava when the Eretz Yisrael is going to be destroyed, and people are going to come and going to visit and going to see what happened. So what does it say there? It says the Goy is going to come from far, far, far away. How much further away can it be than Hannibal, you know, off the Mississippi? Then Mark Twain's going to Zoy State. Rabbi Shlomo was gave the vuot to Moshe Rabbeinu, written the Torah about Mark Twain's going to come. Yeshenachri Yishiyavu Meretz Rechoka. V'amru V'ra'u Es Makosa Aretz Ayves Tachlo Hashemchil Hashem Ba. V'amru Kol Agoyim Amelsa Hashem Kachlo Aretz Azoy. That's what this whole essay is about. What's going on? How did this happen? It's Mamish L'Kayim Hashenemah Pshut L'Kim Hashmo. So he doesn't understand. And what else doesn't he understand? He doesn't understand why the Jews are still around. He said, it should have been gone long ago. And numbers don't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that Klal Yisrael is still around. And that he wrote in the 1800s, the Jews weren't doing so well. And he said, couldn't understand. Mamish couldn't understand the secret of the attorney of a Jew. I once had to give a speech/shiur in Berlin. Years ago, for a group of teenagers who were, you know, really, really very, very little exposure to anything Jewish. And I really wanted to speak about, you know, being part of Klal Yisrael and, you know, Jewish pride and eternity of the Jewish people. That was the theme I wanted to talk about. But I was thinking, like, for a good Maariv Makom to start with. So I went out and I was very nervous about this because I had absolutely no idea what the reading curriculum in Berlin was at the time. So I had no idea whether I even read Mark Twain. So I started off by quoting this essay of Mark Twain. No idea whether they're going to know what I'm talking about, but they knew. They knew. They knew what I was talking about. And my whole shiur was revolving around that essay of Mark Twain. Anyway, what are we talking about that? Oh, Mississippi, I'm back. I forgot. Where were we out? Shefanoah, yeah. I knew. Sometimes we get off topic. Just sometimes the mind works faster than... Okay, so Shatfanar. So good. So Shatfanar, so the Gemara quotes a rice, it says, I steal a field from you, I bump you off the field, and then the field gets flooded by the Mississippi. So now what? What if I would have stole a car from you, and the car gets flooded away by the Mississippi? What would the din be? What would you say the din is? I steal your car, and then it gets... tornado comes and blows it away. Cyclone comes, blows to the land of Oz. What happens? I'm chayav to pay. How come I'm chayav to pay? Gazan is what? Chayav nechrayes. So if you would ask me, I'd say the same is true for the land. Shut for nar, I'd have to give you another land. I have to pay you back. I can't get, the land is ruined. The land is totally, completely ruined. It's never going to be able to be revitalized. I should have to pay you. So the bride says, shut for nar, I'm alive. What? What are the three magic words? I'm alive. What? Remember, like the guys will comment from last week. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lo says you have to give him another field. You have to pay him back the value of the field that was stolen. So Frank the Gemara, b'maykam iflagi. What are they arguing? What are they fighting about? What's the machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan? Says the Gemara, b'yesh karkin exel, so ain't karkin exel kam iflagi. That the Chacham's opinion was that karkin is not an exel. That a gazan is chayv in achrayas. When he steals something, he becomes a gazan. He's kind of the item. Remember what is kinyan gazela mean? What does kinyan gazela mean, everybody say? Kinyan gazela means I'm kind of legabe what? Legabe achrayas. So b'medivam amurim, I'm kind of legabe achrayas. That's by metaltlin. But by karka, it's karka and gazelas. So therefore, it's his. Still, it wasn't kind of yet. Nothing. It's not gazela. And Rabbi Lo says, ma pitom, karka is gazelas. So the Gemara then goes on to explain, but Mike, what are they arguing about? The Gemara showed you based on Sukkim and Pashas Vayikra, where the Karak is exiles, not exiles, Klal, Pada, Klal, Rebun, the three, a whole complicated Derasha, how Rabbi Eliezer got his position, how Rabbani came to their conclusion. But at the end of the day, according to the view of the Chachamim, there's a principle out there called Ein Karak and Exiles, which basically means that the Gaza is not Chaya for anything, short of just saying, Arash Chachal Fedech, it's nice, he didn't do anything. He's a Rashas, Marushas, and Novels, Mushchas. We're not giving him after Yonah, but at the end of the day, it's Karka, they didn't exile us. It wasn't Typhus, it's Gazela, it wasn't Typhus. If it's Gazela, it wasn't Typhus, then there's no Chiv Achrayas. So comes Rashi and Typhus in Sukkah Daf Lamed, like the simple reading of the Gemara is, and say that is the reason why Ein Yush B'Karka. Because Karka didn't exile us, before Ein Yush B'Karka. Which would lead us to believe what, Rabbi say? What would this lead us to believe? That if this is the reason, this is the background as to why Ein Yush B'Karka, it would lead us to believe that the conclusion of Ein Yush B'Karka is actually Machloikis Tanoim. Now again, don't get like, you know, funny on me and tell me a story. Oh, that's the answer to the Stevens. Two Gemaras of Rabbi Eliezer, the other Rabbanah. Come on. We don't follow Rabbi Eliezer in this. Nobody passes Karka and Exiles. But in theory, Rashi tells us opening up the door for at least somebody, maybe Rabbi Eliezer kind of a personality, to subscribe to the idea of Yush and Karka. Because if Ein Yush B'Karka is just a corollary to Karka and Exeles, if you deny the basic principle, then you deny the corollary as well. So that's the way Rashi and Tosis, both in Asugi, you present the picture.
Maybe they're just saying practically, it can't get stolen, as opposed to or the halakha, like we had before in the Sivos that.
Woo! You bechav that nesivus just like that? You didn't see the nesivus. You just thought of that? Wow! You must be the same as the nesivus. That's a winner. I would never thought of that. Your mamish. It's the next point to Shia. So Rashi does connect the dots. I mean, it's hard to deny that they connect the dots. Rashi says it permole. To even quote the, it's hard to say it's metzias. Rashi says the karka becheskes belahu medes the decroy naftlan because of basra. He quotes the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Kufi Zayin Rebbeis. Tosfos quotes the same story They quote Bavakama Kufi Dan Rebbeis. So there's no question that they're talking the language of Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbani. And they're taking a siding. Gemara siding with the Rabbani, not a great surprise. Do we understand this, Rabbi Eliezer? Do we really understand why Karka and Nigzelis, why does that result in Yesh LeKarka exactly? Do we totally understand that connection? Do we totally understand this equation? Or is there something somehow, part of the puzzle is missing there? So comes in Nesivis. I didn't think I had to get to Nesivis so fast, but you just placed it in my lap. Comes in Nesivis and says, let me tell you the real reason why Ein Yesh B'Karka. And I'll tell you why it has everything to do with Karka and Exilus. Says the Nesivis, let's go back to previous sugyas and ask ourselves, where else did we find limitations of Yush? Where else did we find that Yush falls short for us? So we all remember the famous Ramban, one of the most famous Rambans in the sugya of Yush. Where was it? In the Mechamis on where? On Metziyat Chaf Bav. But the Ramban and the Mechamis develops the following Yusayid. That Yush doesn't work on a Dova Sheber what? Sheber Shuso. What was the context of the Ramban? The Ramban was trying to explain away the following halacha. Why is it that if I see a lost item and you were not yet Misyayish, the owner wasn't Misyayish, and I pick it up first, and then you're Misyayish 10 minutes later, why are you not Kohen? If the first mission that the Metziah tells us Yush is Kohen, Yush is Kohen, we know it's a Din Deraisa, Yush is Kohen. Learned that from this pasuk, that pasuk, that pasuk, whatever the Marashi, whatever the Mark of Yush is. Why is it so critical that Yush precedes the Netila? So the Ramban came up with his Yisayid. How you say this? That if the Motius Aveda picks up the Aveda first, he becomes a what? Rabbi Sevil Chazar, what does he become? He becomes a Shomer Aveda. Once he becomes a Shomer Aveda, what halacha kicks in? What equation? Yado ki yadoi. His hand is not the hand of the Balabais. So it's tantamount to the item being the Balabais' hand or his Rishus. And says the Ramban, everybody knows Yush or Dovah Shabashusa was in Chal. Isn't it? So those things, Yush or Dovah Shabashusa. That was the Yasadi, says the Ramban. Now again, off the record, we know that there are Rishonim who disagree with that. Who remembers which great Rishon disagree with that? Which Rishon never heard of that idea? Which great Rishon gave a whole different beer as to why Yush has to proceed than the Tila? Who remembers? This is where Taisus is? Who remembers where? Which Taisus? Where is that Taisus? Which Joseph was that? Tells above a comma samachvav, right? No, vaguely? No one remembers? Nobody? Anybody? What were the three words of Taisus in Samachvav? Who remembers? What was the phrase of Taisus? Taisus used a whole different lingo to explain that din, not like the Ramban. What it's chayev hashava. Taisus said it's the chayev hashava aveda that prevents Yush from kicking in. There's no such thing as shome aveda and yada ki yada. That's not the point. There's a thing called shome aveda. That's not the point of the sugya. But the Ramban has carried a lot of weight. And of course, Kedakeda Bakar, who popularized this Ramban? And the Olam HaYeshivas. No one would remember this Ramban. It's a little line. It's a one line in the middle of a Nuchamas written by an 18-year-old. One line in Ramban. Who brought this Ramban to the public? Who quotes this Ramban? Every other line. Tzais quotes Tzolsa. He had Tzolsa. That's proud of this thing. That's proud of that. Didn't we spend a week talking about this Ramban not that long ago? The Ktzais, every other Ktzais in the Sugyas of Yush quotes this Ramban. There's a typical Ktzais in the Sugyas of Yush is he has this dilemma, he has this problem, he doesn't understand this. Then he says, oh, but according to the Ramban, now everything makes sense. It's like when we look at this Kedushin and the Avnei Milun, also written by the Ktzais. This Sugya doesn't make any sense. It all makes sense to who? The Ran and the Dharm, and then he has another. And this thing doesn't make any sense. Oh, but according to the Ran and the Dharm, everything is hunky dory. And then Nacham also again, every other in the Ran, the Ktzais, that was his dach. He dug up Yisrael and Rishon. When he dug up Yisrael and Rishon, he didn't let it go. He mamish, he held on to it for dear life, and he showed you every single sugi along the way is all munach in that Yisrael. That's the Ktzais used to learn. He looked around, but he had such a knack. First of all, the Ktzais found those lines in the Rishon. His Ramban's a 55 line Ramban. But the Ktzais found the line that he wanted. He found the line that really, really makes or breaks the sugya. And then he looked at every single sugya. This Mamshal Ktzais thought. He went back to every sugya that he learned when he was in fifth grade. And he went back and he probably wrote this Shil Torah in fifth grade. He wrote the Sheshmaita before his bar mitzvah, according to one version. There's a machlokas. He writes in the Hachtam of the Sheshmaita that he wrote the Sefer Kodav HaYosef Ish. Before he became a man, he wrote the Sefer Sheshmaita. So there are two traditions, whether it meant he wrote it before his bar mitzvah or before he got married. I think the difference is maybe a few months between when he got married and when bar mitzvah was. But he wrote it Kodav HaYosef Ish. So the Ktzais B'Stamma maybe wrote when he was 14, 15 maximum. So the Ktzais would find the line that he needed in the Rishon, and then every sugi went back and back and showed why this is the Klal. That was his what the godless of the Ktzais. So the Nesivos did the same thing. The Nesivos also learned that Ramban. And the Nesivos says, that Ramban is going to be the Yesod HaYesus. That Ramban is going to explain away why Ein Yush B'Karka. Ein Yush B'Karka is going to be nothing more, nothing less than Ein Yush and Davar Shebishuso. Says the Ramban, because Karka is always Bishuso. Why is that? Because Karka ain't Nigzelus. So I just threw a lot of stuff at you in the last 30 seconds. Hopefully we'll catch up tomorrow. We have to go back to this to see if it's wait a second. We just connected a lot of dots really, really fast. I told you that there's no Yush and Davar Shebishuso. And I told you that Karka is always called Bishuso, and the reason why Karka is called Bishuso is Karka ain't Nigzelus. Where did I get the authority to make all those statements? Hopefully that's him tomorrow. We have to pick up at that point in the Nesivos. It's going to be one beer in the sugi of Ein Yush B'Karka. But we know in the back of our minds, before we even go further, we know in the back of our minds who is not going to say this pshat. Who is not going to say this pshat? Tosfos for sure. And guess what? Even though the Ktzais popularized that Ramban, the Ktzais had a very unique way of reading that Ramban. Remember? The Ktzais revamped what the whole Ramban meant. And according to the Ktzos of revamping, it's not going to help here. But hopefully, tomorrow, we'll try to pick up on this.